Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Apparently that's how you actually say it. For November 28th, 2017, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Applejacks, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, it's your boy, Armin Tamzarian, a.k.a. Principal Spinner, because I'm nice with the fidgets.
He really is. It's impressive. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious improviser, Edgar Montplaisir.
Boingo, boingo.
Boingo, yeah. Boingo.
That's right, Edgar.
That's an early catchphrase. Not even like the biggest fans of the show know early Oingo Boingo goes. So, guys, if we've released the lost tapes, you'll know.
Right. The basement tapes.
Exactly.
Edgar, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are as a human being?
I searched Prince Charles. Why will he never be king? Because I remember someone told me that Prince Charles was never going to be king. But then I Googled it, and that's not true. He could be king.
Yeah,
this is very true.
But people think that he's going to abdicate it. Like, they think that he's not going to do it.
Right. Why would he do that? Just because he's, like...
He's just, like, older. Yeah, he's just old, and he's, like, filled with so much controversy. And I think, like, everyone just thinks he sucks.
Yeah. Because
he, like, cheated on Diana and probably killed her.
Whoa.
Well, it depends on who you believe. I think the queen did it.
Damn.
If we're going straight off the tabloids, I mean, the tabloids always point the finger at Queen Elizabeth.
I had a question. If Queen Elizabeth died within, like, the week, do you guys think that it was because she couldn't handle that Prince Harry was marrying a black woman?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, if she died this week, could that be a reason? Like,
she's
going to bring a black person in here? And then she died.
She's lived through a lot. That would be weird if she died this week.
Yeah, because of that.
She's made it through all the things. Edgar, what's something you think is overrated?
Pixar movies. I think Pixar movies
are
hella overrated. I was just talking with my girlfriend. I think that if Pixar made a movie with, like, a black kid, and he goes out and he has a good day, and he's just chilling with his friends, and then on the walk home he gets shot, then I would respect Pixar movies. But A House on Balloons? I'm sorry.
House of Balloons?
The Weeknd. Yeah, The Weeknd. Yeah. The Weeknd Pixar movies.
Yeah, that would be dope.
That would be some X-rated shit, not for kids.
So Pixar movies just aren't
real
enough?
I think it's
like
just
you want
like
some
woken
Fruitvale Station Pixar
movies?
Yeah,
I want a Fruitvale Station Pixar movie. I think it's like, it just seems like they're pandering now. Like, I don't know. This might be fucked up. A lot of people think Coco is dope because, like, representation. But it's just like, is it really? Or is it just like, yo, we're just going to make one for y'all now because we've already made a bunch of money.
Like what the motivations are.
Yeah, it just seems whack to me. It seems corny.
Do you like any animated movies?
I do.
What's your favorite animated movie?
Oh, right now, currently, is this one I saw from this French filmmaker called My Life as Zucchini. Oh. It's about, like, an orphanage of kids who've all gotten there for, like, very fucked up reasons.
And they turn to zucchinis?
No. One of them is called Zucchini, but he accidentally killed his mother.
Oh.
And he's sent to an orphanage.
Yeah.
And, like, it's very sad, but it's, like, heartfelt. Like, yeah. I like those kinds. Or there's this, like...
Once my son is able to start watching movies, I'm definitely going to go to you for recommendations because it sounds like you're good with the kids' films.
Show him Eraserhead.
What's something you think is underrated?
Ramen from like restaurants.
Restaurants.
Yeah.
I want to specify. It's the most popular fucking thing right now is ramen.
I don't think it's as popular as it should be, bro. Like, I've been hitting up ramen spots lately. There's one really dope one by Garage Pizza in Silver Lake. And I was like, yo, this is fucking tight. Why
Silver Lake
everyone,
ramen?
There's that one. There's another one on Hollywood and Normandy that's really dope. Mm-hmm. And it's like cheap. It's affordable. But it's fucking good.
Yeah.
So I think people aren't respecting ramen as like.
I think in LA
right
it's probably properly rated. But across the country, I think
maybe most
ramen is as big a deal.
Respect it, dog.
Well, it was funny because even when we went to Atlanta. We had ramen for lunch. Like ramen was popping in Atlanta, but Atlanta is definitely more metropolitan. I mean, look, if it's out in Knoxville, if my Japanese brethren have made it out to Knoxville, Tenneke, you know what I mean? out there moving that noodle work, making that tonkotsu baby. Who knows? But yeah, it's funny. I only laugh because it's like literally the most popular food in LA right now.
Poke.
Yeah,
that's like the most popular thing right now. Like raw fish is like everyone's on that shit now.
By the way, don't ask me how to pronounce anything. Apparently, I was saying Betsy Davos, and I didn't want to correct you, man.
Did you really?
My Twitter DMs, yeah.
R.I.P. your mentions?
My mentions, yeah.
My girlfriend asked me how to pronounce Bechtel this morning, and I feel like that was very problematic.
She asked me.
Yeah, she was like, how do you pronounce this? And I said, you should know.
Ooh, oh, you hit it with that.
Damn. Well, I do think that this is like a – I don't think anybody needs to feel bad about not being able to pronounce things anymore because we just read everything.
That is
like,
true. No one's
like,
talking
sorry.
Anymore.
Yeah, yeah. We don't even talk to each other. We just sit across from each other and text. Right, my fellow millennials?
That's right, non-narc cop.
All right, we're going to go into format. Here on the Daily Zeitgeist, we're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you are looking or not. We talk about politics and the president and news. But we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. We're trying to take the temperature of what is going on in the national shared consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to start off by asking our guest for a myth, something that the national shared consciousness believes in that you know is not true based on your personal life experience.
Yeah, and it's Will Smith is not black. I believe that Will Smith is actually Cuban.
And you believe this based on
my personal experience of what black people look and act like. And Will Smith, why is he always in movies with a Latina cast member, huh? Because he knows who he is, and he knows, and we've pushed him into this black category, but he's not really
you're
black.
Saying it's not the reluctance of studios to have two black leads in a film, so they right. water it down by having one black man and one
nah,
Latina.
They're trying to make Will Smith comfortable.
Well, but that is interesting, like until really really late in the game, like basically, a couple of years ago, like Hollywood studios still would not have a black man and a white woman like kiss on camera. Like
yeah.
The Pelican Brief, they cast Denzel Washington, who was like the hottest actor at the time, and Julia Roberts, the hottest actress at the time, and then they refused to have them kiss on camera.
Actually, Denzel Washington is one who refused to kiss Julia Roberts.
Yeah, apparently Denzel, according to super producer Anna Hosnier, has like a personal code where he won't kiss white women on camera because he doesn't want to piss off black women. That's a real thing.
You sound surprised by that. You're like, I guess women would be mad.
Right.
Angry black women.
I mean,
it's a real force.
Oh, I got texts in my phone all day about it.
Oh, because you tweeted a picture of you and your girl?
Yeah.
And they were like,
they're
who
just
the
like,
fuck?
Who is this? And I said, she's Latina. It's okay. And they're like, no, it's not.
Oh. She's Latina. It's okay.
Have you never seen a Tyler Perry movie? The man always leaves for a white woman. It's a consistent thing
right.
in Tyler Perry movies.
I've heard Gold Digger.
And when he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl.
Apparently, if he plays a bad guy in a movie, that bad guy has to die by the end of the movie.
What That's a like code. Part,
I know. I love that he has a code.
I've heard of this code because my friend says that he gets drunk on, like, he'll only get drunk on a boat in the middle of the ocean, and he'll wait there until he gets sober. It's true. Then
wait,
he'll come back.
So Denzel Washington doesn't drink on land?
Like, he'll like when he's, like, chilling around people, he's like, nah, I'm good. I'll have a club soda. But when he wants to get wasted, he'll go into the ocean. And he, like, you know, it's like a...
Like a fucking werewolf?
It's
basically.
Like a binge. It's like a binge.
It's like nautical alcoholism.
Yeah.
It's like, well, but like, it's also, like, to me, like, right. the werewolf thing is, like, because I'm a danger to everybody right. around. The only way to stay safe is to put me on a boat in right. the middle of the sea where I'm only a harm, danger to myself and the boat.
Right. Yeah, that's, like, the most dangerous thing in the
yeah,
world.
Like,
I would never get drunk on a boat because I could just see my ass, like, just falling overboard. Right, like,
right. He's protecting like, no, us.
In a blackout.
He's, like, I have to be chained up and... Yeah. And feed me right. feed me shots of Hennessy because right. I could go crazy.
I think flight is like there's a little bit of truth in it where like Denzel right. does know what it's like to like lose yourself to,
yeah.
to drugs and stuff.
I have a whole thing written into somebody else's article I cracked about how when you look at movie posters for Will Smith, he's looking directly at the camera like accept me, we're the same.
Right, right, right.
But when you exactly. look at Denzel movie posters, he's like looking off to the side, always to the same side, I think because he knows
he
looks
knows
awesome like that.
And he
but
knows
yeah,
he's black.
He it's almost like he recognizes that there's like racism there, whereas Will Smith is like, come on, we're cool.
He's like, I'm OJ.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
I'm not black, I'm Will Smith.
Yeah, I think that comparison is so on point. And it's going to make black people mad, but Will Smith doesn't care about black people. I'll
he's
say
not very vocal.
That's,
I'm surprised at how intelligent he is that he's not taking up more of like a mantle for the cause of like inclusion.
Because he's rich.
Go into the comments of the movie, what was it, Focus, where mm-hmm. Will Smith... The main love interest is Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Right.
And Jesus Christ, man, the comments on that trailer when that first came out were like insane. Just
well,
like the most racist shit ever.
Man, and he did more than kiss her on that movie too.
Right.
Is that the one where they're both scheming?
Yeah,
yes.
they're both scheming
yeah,
each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like Matchstick Men, except Nicolas Cage is having sex with his daughter. Has anyone seen Matchstick Men?
Yes.
No. That track? All right, cool.
Thanks for putting that in my head. So we're going to get into the stories that are going on right now. And the Grammys were announced, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big year. For the first time ever, the award for Album of the Year has no white men nominated, which as our... project manager Sophie Lichterman said they'll still probably give it to Beck, but it's still a cool
yeah. I mean, look, the
milestone.
The albums that are nominated: "Awaken My Love" by Childish Gambino, amazing mm-hmm. album. 444, Jay Z, not his best album, but his best, as we were talking earlier, best Latter Day Jay Z album, like yeah. post Black album. "Damn" by Kendrick Lamar, of course.
Yes.
"Melodrama" by Lorde. Haven't heard much of that album. Yep. And then Bruno Mars, 24 Karat Magic.
Wow.
Right. So they'll give it to Lorde. Obviously.
What are the songs good from the Lorde album?
Isn't there that
know.
One
What's
where she's
hit?
Like standing by a beach? That's
oh,
the one that everyone's
yeah,
always
yeah,
talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
That one. What's that? How'd that go?
I don't know.
She's standing by a
I
beach.
Just know that that's like on the radio.
I'm just assuming because they gave Adele the Album of the Year over
Ooh,
Beyonce last
yeah.
year.
I've never stormed out of a room harder than when that shit happened.
And by room, you mean like the living room you were watching
yeah.
the Grammys on?
No, I stand out of, I was there at the Grammys.
You're like, no, I can't.
Get up.
Nope, not now.
But I don't know.
I don't know. Of those albums, what do any of you, what's your favorite of those albums on there?
To win or my
or
favorite?
Or personally, not taking out the politics of the Grammys. Like
Awaken
personally.
My Love. Awaken My Love would be my favorite, but to win, I think 24 Karat Magic's going to win, man. It's the most pop out of all those albums.
Right.
It's the most commercially successful, I think. I think 24 Karat Magic is going to win, and a dark horse is Damn.
I think Damn will win, and I think Damn should win.
I think Damn will probably. I think I don't know. 24 Karat has like that wild, like that safe appeal, where it's mm-hmm. like, look, he's not white. Yeah. And also, we like this. So doesn't everybody win with this one?
Yeah.
But also, yeah, to me, Awaken My Love was the album that I listened to that like I actually like screamed like as I was listening to it because I was so
it's so good.
Hyped.
Yeah.
That really? He made like a psych funk album in 2016.
Definitely unexpected.
Yeah, and does it really well. Like, it doesn't feel forced or anything. I mean, yes.
People were so upset when that album dropped, though.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
They were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Right, because they wanted the rap, Gambino rapper stuff.
The nerdy rap.
Dude, he's an artist, you know? This is what you're getting. This is the album he decided to make. Maybe next year he'll hit you with, like, a rap album.
Donald Glover needs to work harder, man. He's not doing enough. He's not doing enough out there. He has the potential to win an EGOT, like, in a single year. Just like
he really does.
EGOT in a single year, yeah.
And the EGOT is, for our listeners,
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
That's
the
one that I'm not convinced that he could win is the Tony.
Tony?
That's the only one I'm just like, I don't know.
If he wrote a play.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got me.
Wrote a play with Lin-Manuel.
Like call ATL or something.
Yeah. That'd be dope. I don't know. This is a big deal because the Grammys, I don't know, they have a history. Like, I almost never pay attention to the Grammys. Even when I got the news alert this morning, I was just like, ignore. Because these are some things on the Grammys resume. So for Best Rock Song, the year that Nevermind came out, they gave it to, instead of Smells Like Teen Spirit, they gave it to Eric Clapton's unplugged version of Layla. In 2000, the year that Kid A and Marshall Mathers LP came out, they gave it to a Steely Dan album, which Steely Dan has made some great music, but I don't think their record that came out in 2000 is like what people
What's
remember that year for.
Yeah.
And in 1966, the year that Eleanor Rigby and Good Vibrations came out, they gave it to Winchester Cathedral.
What the fuck is that? Like a church group?
Come at me on Twitter, but I think that one was right.
You like Winchester Cathedral?
I just think that Good Vibrations and Eleanor Rigby are
Good
kind
Vibrations
of whack songs.
So good, man.
All right, man. Listen, Beach Boys and the Beatles are ass. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
So Winchester Cathedral is a song by the New Vaudeville Band. Everybody,
I take that back. I can't
everybody should go check that out on
the New Vaudeville.
What is it, like upright piano and like spoons?
It's like
we're
funny
down
hats
in
and
Winchester
stuff.
In the orchestra.
Clack clack do get it clack clack.
Actually, the thing that you just made up right there is probably better than
damn
Winchester Cathedral.
Where's our fucking Grammy?
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they managed to fuck this up.
One of my favorite Best New Artist wins was Bon Iver over Frank Ocean because everyone kept tweeting, all these black people kept tweeting, who's Bonnie Bear?
Bonnie Bear.
That was over what? Orange? Channel Orange?
It was for Best New Artist. So he just just won. But Bon Iver versus Channel Orange.
Great album.
Both amazing albums.
Yeah. But
Channel Orange.
Channel Orange really blew my mind.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. So we wanted to talk about this big Veritas sting. So this dude, James O'Keefe, who is not really a journalist. He's more like he is to journalism what those YouTube prank videos are to
comedy.
Journalism, I guess. He's just like a YouTube prank video guy.
Or like what Viners are to comedy.
Right.
Like actual comedy.
Right. Yeah, that would have been a better.
It's a version.
My analogy was not well constructed.
Hey, but that was off top, man, and I've been thinking about it.
And I respect it.
So what happened? Miles, you were telling us about this attempted sting like 2 weeks ago.
Yo, okay, yes. Yeah. So this guy, James O'Keefe, he has this organization called Project Veritas, where their whole thing is to infiltrate liberal groups, media groups, nonprofit organizations, and try and like do undercover video shit.
Like that Planned Parenthood shit?
Yeah. And then selectively edit it so to make the organization or entity look as terrible as possible. And he's never actually dug up real shit. He's always just found sound bites he's able to piece together to then be like, oh, look at the New York Times. They're in line with James Comey, which is a whole other story I can get into later because a personal friend of mine was caught up in one of James O'Keefe's stings. But anyway,
sounds like this is a personal thing to me. Eh?
Yeah, maybe
sounds
it
like
is.
You're using
guys,
this.
Buckle your fucking seatbelts, man, because I'm about to air this dude out. So he basically, the Washington Post broke the most damning Roy Moore stories about his, you know, alleged pedophilia and sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, like we've seen things come out that people have been trying to discredit the Washington Post. Like there was someone on Twitter who was like, my wife was approached and offered $1,000 to make a false accusation against Roy Moore. And then we covered this a couple weeks ago. There was that really bizarre robocall that went into Alabama with like the most offensive version of a Jewish guy named Bernie Bernstein.
This is Bernie Bernstein
from the Washington Post, and I'll give you monies if you lie about Roy Moore. And I'm even doing a better version because this guy who was acting couldn't even do like a real New York accent.
Right. Also, they came with the name Bernie Bernstein. Yeah. Come on, niggas. Fucking try. Yeah, that's so wild.
So next level. So this is like, so we don't know if those
are Jewy Jewerstein. And
exactly. Right. Exactly.
That is like, they do not put a lot of thought into fake names, as we will find out.
Oh, yeah. It's like, my name's Andy Hanukkah. Like, you know, it's like, what the fuck? Like, okay, sure.
Right.
So
we don't know these things are connected.
Yeah, but we do know that there is a push clearly to discredit the Washington Post and make Roy Moore look better.
Right.
So the latest fuckery from Project Veritas was he basically sent in a woman to lie about the fact that she had hooked up with Roy Moore in the early 90s as a teenager, and they were having a sexual relationship, and he made her get an abortion.
Right.
And so she wanted to come out and break that story with the Washington Post. Right. And that's like the false pretense that this woman who works with Project Veritas under James O'Keefe was sent to do. And her, you know, her whole story was like, you know, obviously, if true, like, would have been a bombshell other thing. But she kind of like rubbed the Washington Post people the wrong way because like she was really adamant every time she talked to me. She's like, well, you guys will do everything. This will end Roy Moore, right? Like, I want him out of the race. And
right.
being very transparent.
Like, just like so clear.
Essentially
that
what James O'Keefe thinks the Washington Post would be into.
How they think. Right. Like, I think he was hoping she would say something like, this will, you know, this will end him, right? And I think the sexiest soundbite he was hoping for was like, yes, because it is our mission as a Washington Post to smear Roy Moore in any way, even if it is a dubious accusation.
Right.
Or whatever. So, but push comes to shove, he doesn't realize that the Washington Post are actual fucking journalists.
Right.
So they
don't. They don't know what actual journalism is. So they just aren't prepared for this.
Because they think
like,
it's
fact checking.
They think it's easy as going, hey, a fake robocall, Bernie Bernstein. Again, not that they're connected, but the thought, the logic being applied by people trying to discredit the Washington Post is like, it's that easy. Like, just tell them. And so it's very dangerous because, A, in doing so, you're also trying to invalidate credible victims of sexual assault, which is like are on its surface completely fucked up and deranged anyway.
Right.
But also, this guy, he is the worst at actually digging any kind of real story up. Like, he has a pattern of failure, which we'll get into later. So cut to this Washington Post journalist. She meets with this woman who calls herself Jamie Phillips, who is the accuser. But what this woman doesn't realize is that this other journalist from the Post, she came with fucking receipts.
Right.
Like, she didn't just go to be like, yeah, let's hear more about your story. They're like, hold up. Like, in the process of talking to this woman, they're like, hold on, we found some stuff. We found a GoFundMe page where she was like, hey, I need money to go to New York so I can work for the Daily Caller as like a investigative journalist to bring down the liberal mainstream media.
Right.
It's literally on her GoFundMe page with her name on it.
Right. Damn.
So they're like, okay, this is already weird. They looked into her, like, where she said she worked and these other things, and nothing added up. So basically, the Washington Post, they decided to turn the tables and they're like, you know what? Let's set up some cameras.
Let's
like wear a mic. Lady. Yeah, because this is what James O'Keefe and Project Veritas does to other like news outlets. So they're like, you know what? Let's turn the tables up. So we're about to play the clip, which is like this whole interaction with the Washington Post and this mole, Jamie Phillips, really comes to a head. And this is right off the heels of the Washington Post reporter sliding a screen grab of the GoFundMe page and be like, so you want to work for conservative undercover gotcha journalism? She's like, no. And she's like, well, who did you interview with over there? And she begins to try and explain who she's interviewing with. And she comes up with a very generic name.
Right.
So let's check this
out. And this is taking place in a public restaurant, which is why it's so loud. Like, the woman was like, I want to meet you. The person who originally reported on Roy Moore in a public restaurant. And the Washington Post shows up having actually fact-checked her background.
Okay. And so who was the person that you interviewed with?
It was a lady named Kathy.
What was her last name?
Johnson.
Kathy Johnson?
Uh-huh. Kathy Johnson.
And where was it?
In the New York area.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, like, why we are going into all this yet. Well, I haven't even agreed to go through with the story yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, since you contacted us, you reached out to us, you know, we, you know, went ahead and did some background checking, you know what I mean, on some of the things that you had told Beth. about your story. And so this came up. And so I just want to understand what that's about and why you would want to work for the Daily Caller. And I'm also, you know, frankly, want to know if you're who you might be working for now.
I still do mortgage work.
Well, it's a little bit of an issue there, and you know, I just want to ask you to explain it, because when we called the company that you said that you worked for, they said they didn't have, that you didn't work there. So if you're not working for that mortgage company, where are you working?
A branch.
Maverick?
Yeah.
And where is that?
It was out of Atlanta.
It was out of Atlanta? So did your do you still have an interest in, as this says, combating the lies and deceit of the liberal MSM? Do you still have an interest in working in the conservative media movement to combat the lies and deceit of the liberal MSM? Is that
no.
Is that still your interest?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not at this point.
No.
Not at this point.
Catherine.
Uh-huh. What's her last name?
Johnson.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's just funny, too. As it goes on, the woman who's trying to push the fake story then goes like, you know, can we just cancel this? Like, the heat's getting too hot. It's like, this is not a Columbia House get 12 CDs for a penny type agreement here. We're like, hey, can I cancel this? It's like, you open Pandora's box, m'lady.
Right. I mean, they're putting resources into, like, you know, your story, checking your story. Yeah. So it's not your right to be like, never mind, cancel.
Right. Which is odd, because in his most desperate attempts to show that the Washington Post is like a half-assed journalistic operation where they'll take hearsay and publish it, he basically just proved that they're on their shit and there's no way that you could come in there like and not be completely fact-checked and verify that like what they're going to print has some kind of validity to
it. They're a news organization.
Yeah, right. They're not a guy with a YouTube channel.
I think if he had just put that lady, what was her name, Jamie Phillips, mm-hmm. through just like one acting class, like just anything, like maybe just a stand-up class, she could have came in there with so much more confidence, because you could hear it in her voice that she had never spoken out loud.
You know, right. Like, internet, like yeah. Email lying. Yeah,
right.
She was like, yes. Like, it was so quiet and gentle. It was like,
right.
She was not ready to be on camera.
She needs that level one
improv.
Well,
she was just ready to come in there and like just give her like lies.
Yeah.
And then when the woman came at her with, when the actual journalist asked her to like, asked her details about her story.
The woman that you were hearing, that's Stephanie McCrumman, who also helped work on the Roy Moore piece. I mean, shout out to Stephanie McCrumman, too, because she, if you watch the video, she is so mad. She's like, you are wasting my time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm so glad I'm looking at you because,
in your face.
Yeah. And the ending, it just like, she just like storms off by the end.
It definitely has the tone of the Brendan Dassey interviews from Making a Murderer, where like the cops are interviewing Brendan Dassey and he's like, I don't know.
And the cops are just like so excited to just like,
right.
Please just say that he just like grabbed her by the neck and killed her. And he's like, right. And he's like,
And this is like, so you are trying to work with the conservative media movement to bring down the liberal mainstream media?
I don't know.
Right.
Can I go home and watch WrestleMania?
Yeah, exactly. This was the equivalent of what she was trying to do.
But James O'Keefe did basically take down Acorn, right?
Like, he did, yeah. I mean, Acorn was a community organizing group that was, you know, once Obama won office, like a community organizer became like a real buzzword amongst like conservatives, because they're like, this guy was an organizer. Like, it just means you know how to talk to people in areas and like get people organized to, you know, collectively fight for their own benefit.
Any black man in his early 30s?
Right, exactly. Right. He went into like his whole career was kicked off because he went into Acorn like literally dressed like a Superfly pimp. Like,
and what is Acorn?
The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now.
Wow.
They just advocate, like I said, for like low, moderate income families. It's
right.
It's very, on its surface, it's not a problematic organization.
Right. And so he went into one branch dressed as basically if a frat had a pimps and hoes party.
Exactly.
Like he was dressed
costume
like the
bag.
Costume pimp.
On point.
And he was like, what did he say? I have a bunch of like
prostitutes. Like, yeah, he was trying to basically get Acorn to give him advice to like leak legal advice if he was trying to, you know, use the proceeds from prostitutes. It was like that part doesn't matter as much because all he did was go in, ask a bunch of weird questions. They were not very well trained and were representing the company.
Right. They just, was an undercover video of people who
weren't
that
well
trained.
And he just caught people who, and they're like, yeah, I guess you could do that or whatever. And he's like, you see, this is what Acorn is about and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Him and when Andrew Breitbart was still alive, they were pushing this out to conservative media and eventually got to the mainstream where they're like, what's going on at Acorn? And everyone got duped. But the thing was, the other thing is, he wasn't even dressed as a pimp. Like, because they wanted to make you believe that he went in there dressed like
dressed
that,
as a
and
pimp.
He wasn't.
But it was just like two separate shots. And he went in dressed as a law student and then... Yeah, so, I dressed as a law student for Halloween this past year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everybody knows that outfit.
I'd argue you dress like a law student every day.
Hey, fuck you, Edgar. It's not cool, man.
He wears like a barrister's wig. Like the UK.
So some of James O'Keefe's greatest hits since that time. So he tried to lure a CNN contributor onto a boat that he had stocked with dildos. Only to have his plan exposed by one of his own staffers.
What do you accomplish,
CNN?
Man?
I don't know. It was like gonna. It really is prank video style. Like
some niggas just have too much money. Well, That's what it was.
I think because CNN was like looking at young American conservative activists, and that's how he even came into focus of CNN. Mm. And he was like, "Yeah, invited this journalist onto this boat," but a document leaked where he was basically talking about what his actual plan was. This CNN reporter is like, I'm trying to interview young conservative activist people in the Obama era. And he was like, this is like, I guess from a leaked email or something. He said, instead, I've decided to have a little fun. Instead of giving her a serious interview, I'm going to punk CNN. He literally uses the word punk.
Nice.
He's like, Abby has been trying to seduce me to use me. Abby is from CNN and she wasn't trying to seduce him in order to spin a lie about me. So I'm going to seduce her on camera to use her for a video. She'll get seduced on camera and you'll get to see the awkwardness and the aftermath.
Right. And she was just like, no, I'm not coming on your boat, bro. It's definitely reminiscent of other conservative men that I've been in contact with who are like, yeah, she's trying to seduce me. It's like, no, that's just a woman talking to
you. Right.
That shit's all in your head. So he also tried to do a sting on a senator from Louisiana named Mary Landrieu in her office, but he ended up getting a misdemeanor conviction for trying to do that.
Yeah, how old is this dude?
He's 33.
What?
And he's paying himself like we'll get to that later. I mean, they've got a lot of money, this group. But that Mary Landrieu thing, he tried to go in to like bug her phones.
Right.
And was dressed like a fucking phone crew. Like he was really trying to do some like
some
police academy.
Shit.
Yeah, like, hey, we're coming in. And they were like, hold up, dude, who are you?
Why is your nose so long?
Yeah, right.
It's a reference to Ocean's 12, if anyone's seen it.
Oh, yes.
We're all big fans.
Big fans. They're rocking Arsenal gear in that one, too. Shout out to that movie.
So he had apparently tried to penetrate, like, every conservative thinks that George Soros is, like, behind this massive conspiracy. He's, like, the one billionaire who actually, like, funds liberal causes.
I'm still getting checks.
Right. Yeah. So George Soros supposedly was paying all the protesters who went to the airports when Trump's ban went into effect.
And social justice warriors in general, I think, was another thing James O'Keefe said Soros was responsible for.
Right. So he was trying to infiltrate like a George Soros foundation, but he like called them and left a voicemail and forgot to hang up his phone. So then it kept recording as he like then went on to describe the entire sting to his staff. So it's just like cartoonish
and also,
buffoonery.
He tried to impersonate a Hungarian businessman to this group because I think George Soros is Hungarian. And that was his clever thing, where it's like, I'm going to do an accent.
Right.
Leave this voicemail.
This makes me so upset.
That's why I'm also curious, because I think he likes the accent, to do accents. So he may have had it. I mean, look, I don't know if he has anything to do with Bernie Bernstein, but I think he might have a career in doing voiceover acting.
Right.
He'd go far, man. This is a pure example of just like a mediocre white dude who like is allowed to keep doing this shit and people are giving him money for it. If I tried to pitch a prank show right now, no one would buy it. But this dude is making money off of doing these trash ass pranks.
Well, see, you have to recontextualize it because this could be a prank show, but he's like, this is a right wing gotcha investigative.
I'm
going to
do it.
Thing.
I'm quitting comedy right now and I'm going to become a right wing prankster and make some money because I could do this so much better.
Well, you would have to do the version where you infiltrate like alt right organizations and you be like the new token for the alt right. And they're like, we love this guy, Edgar. He's great. He gets it. But yeah, the thing is, his money, he gets all kinds of money. Like, I think last year, They raised something around like $4.5 million.
What the fuck?
His organization.
Yeah, Project Veritas.
Right, because he is doing the work that people on the right, who are a lot of billionaires, are, you know, libertarians and, you know, radical right. They want the, you know, mainstream media taken down. So.
Right. And the interesting thing is the Daily Beast wrote an article about like kind of how this is indicative of like what's going on with how wealthy conservatives use their money, because a lot of people think that these wealthy billionaire conservatives are like these, you know, backroom, like old DC types drinking whiskey and scotch and like planning the end of the world, when they're really just like more like the base, just with a lot of money.
Right.
So their ideas to invest in things are like, hey, this young guy who's like crazy enough to make a video, like, sure, I'll throw some money behind that. I'm pretty sure he received money from Donald Trump a few years ago, too, from Donald Trump's charity.
Is it all tax deductible? Because it's a nonprofit, I guess.
It's a nonprofit, yeah.
And these are only the like fucked up stings that we found out about because they got like screwed up in process. I'm sure like if Donald Trump was paying him, he was trying to like went undercover and was like, so Barack. Yeah. We all know you're actually from Kenya, right? Like,
yeah, am I right, brother?
Like, what?
He was probably wearing blackface.
That's what I was about to say. He's the type of dude who probably roll up in blackface and go to like an NAACP meeting and be like, "Hey, so how are we gonna bring down the white man?
What's good, my niggas?"
So get too nervous. So in 2017, speaking of their huge budgets, his group was trying to infiltrate an environmental group, and the environmental group was like, yeah, you're clearly like doing some sort of undercover shit, because one of his operatives kept leaving his phone and cufflinks on the table, like which were clearly recording devices.
Right.
He'd be like, "Let me just take these cufflinks off."
And hold on, can I get a light reading? Really quick? Stop up to a F56.
Well, right. But so the Washington Post article was actually saying that Jamie Phillips kept doing the same thing with her purse. She would put her purse on the table. And then the Washington Post journalist like knew she was doing that
to record stuff.
And so she put her purse right in front of it. And then Jamie Phillips like moved her purse over to the left. It's just like, yo.
These dudes are so whack.
So it's really worth reading about, because I don't know. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, and also this shit is dangerous too, because there are other videos that he puts out that really spreads this kind of misinformation.
Absolutely.
And really has people thinking like in these alternate realities.
I've seen that pimp video. Like, I was just like, oh, I remember that.
Oh, it was, man, every news outlet covered it, because it was treated like a scandal, and that was completely born out of, you know, Breitbart and this kid back in 2009.
Yeah.
So
he looks like a bizarro Adam Devine.
Oh, like one other thing I will add is, so the prior to this, he always tries to act like, you know, I brought down the New York Times, or I brought down a reporter of the New York Times. He brought down a channel manager at the New York Times who run the YouTube channel.
Right.
Like, he got like a sexy woman to talk to like this guy who worked for the New York Times YouTube channel. And like, this is the kind of dude, when you watch the video, like, you can tell he's just kind of lying to impress this woman.
Right. Yeah.
And
he's the guy who uploads videos for the New York Times.
Yeah.
He doesn't
produce the videos. They're just like, hey, Nick, do the thumbnail, and then this is the title, and do the tags.
Right.
And so he'll upload it. And so he has nothing to do with the content. He just manages it.
Right.
So this woman like infiltrates his life or whatever.
Right.
And just asks him like a bunch of leading questions. Like in one of their videos, I think she actually says a line. He's like, you'll promise me you'll bring him down. Right. Like talking about Trump. And he's like, oh yeah. But this guy didn't have the power to do that.
He didn't have the power to do shit.
And then also he was like, yeah, when the James Comey got fired, like I almost had to recuse myself like from uploading YouTube videos. And she's like, why? And he says, oh, James Comey's my godfather.
Right.
And like in their video, they really tried to act like this kid, like he has nothing to do with James Comey. But in these Project Veritas videos, they present it as truth.
Mm.
And it really does get people fired up thinking that the New York Times is somehow in cahoots with James Comey. Like, come on.
Right.
Like,
and it was clearly just a dude who, you know, was very susceptible to a young woman and, you know, like didn't get a lot of like attractive young women talking to him. And so like she was able to lead him into like whatever she wanted him to say, he would say.
Yeah, exactly. And then when it came out, the New York Times, they had to fire him. And they were like, first of all, this guy has nothing to do with how we make the videos. He's not a producer. He's not a writer or editor or anything. He's a channel manager.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm just glad that James O'Keefe, as much as he likes to say, well, we're trending now, you're trending because you took the biggest L of the year in journalism.
Right.
If you want to call it journalism.
This is the wackest James Bond.
Right.
That's who he is.
But this is, like, a video will come out of this that will be carefully edited by James O'Keefe to make it seem like they actually caught the Washington Post doing something, I'm sure, and it'll go viral on Drudge.
Yeah, he tried to fundraise off this yesterday, I think. He sent a letter out saying, oh, I was ambushed by Washington Post reporters because they like one of our operatives' cover was blown. He's like, but it's fine because we got our story on them coming soon,
right?
Which will probably be a pretty big nothing burger.
All right, we're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
And we're back. So we're not going to get to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau because we're running out of time. But that is a crazy story that people should check in on. We'll do a whole check in on Trump World tomorrow. But we are going to talk about the number one movie at the box office this past weekend. Was a Disney movie named Coco, which I guess we can mention, speaking of Disney movies, was it Eric Trump's defense of his father?
Yes.
So what his dad called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas.
He referred to Elizabeth Warren, while he's honoring the three Navajos,
right,
who helped the fucking Marines create the secret code to use during World War II, like... He then uses that to somehow be like, hey, you know, we've got this representative who's like, who's been here a long time. They call her Pocahontas. Yo, these dudes were not laughing.
The room went so quiet.
Dude, right. It's so quiet because, first of all, what the fuck are you doing? These are Native American soldiers who put their life on the line for a country who has mistreated them since time immemorial. Right. And also, on top of that, in front of a fucking portrait of Andrew Jackson, like, there is no, there's no consideration for history or context with this person.
And then Eric Trump came out, the one who SNL makes into somebody who, like, follows any shiny thing that passes by him. he came out and said, it's crazy that ABC is getting so mad at my dad about calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas when ABC is owned by Disney and they had a movie called Pocahontas.
Yeah. It's like,
which is just...
I'm sorry, how does that... Can you walk me through that?
An amazing leap of logic. But so I did want to speak, which is also, all to say...
Let me just give some context. And the thing with Andrew Jackson, for people who aren't U.S. history buffs, he was the architect of the Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, this is... If there was, like, a supervillain you wanted to put in front of, like, Native American people, it would have been Andrew Jackson. And so that, to add insult to that injury, is just wild. So
if you watch the clip, though, it's so clear that he knows what he's saying is offensive in real time. Because he makes the joke, and then immediately, like... And now he's just like, but you're a good guy.
And like, pulls him in. He's like, but not you.
But yeah, I think this is all part of his decision to, this is like troll Elizabeth Warren week, because she is the person who created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which he is trying to dismantle. But we will talk about that at a later date. But so people are flipping out about the number one movie at the box office, Coco, which is a Pixar movie. So Edgar, you know, hold your tongue.
Oh, I've already been looking at my phone being like, fuck this conversation.
I'm fucking checked out.
You're all mad. You thought Coco was about like a black woman.
Oh, like, I was like, oh, it was about a black woman with an afro and coconut oil in her
hair. Coco Brown.
But so apparently people are mad because there is a short at the beginning of this Pixar movie that is incredibly long. And we actually have our super producer, Nick Stumpf, who, Nick, you brought your daughters to Coco over the weekend.
I did.
And
wow.
that tone already.
Yeah.
You should see his face. He is seething.
He just broke an orange in his hand.
I hear nothing but good things about Coco, the movie, but your daughter walked out, right?
Yeah, I didn't get to see all of Coco because there was an involuntary Frozen movie before the film, which exhausted the precious minutes of my daughter's attention span. And so we didn't get all the way through Coco,
right?
Unfortunately, I liked what I saw of it.
Right. So the
he's so mad.
the short film beforehand. Because I think there's been quite a few Pixar movies that start out with
most
a short
do,
film,
right?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a tradition.
And they usually are maybe like 2 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, but they've been getting longer and longer as time has progressed.
Right. I think Inside Out had a Moana sort of preview thing.
Oh,
that was,
man,
like,
I hated that one.
Yeah, it was longish.
We know
like
you
seven
hate every
or eight minutes,
Pixar
but...
movie.
The volcanoes, right? The volcanoes.
Right, the volcano. Nick, how long was this one?
It seemed like forever. I think it was 21 minutes. Sorry, 21 minutes, which is an eternity for something you don't, if you're not in the mood for.
Right, and for children whose attention span is not very long, you can't get children to sit still for literally anything. So asking them to sit still for one movie and then sit still for a second movie, like after the first one ends. And also, so I have a problem with Olaf, you guys. Don't even get me started on Olaf from Frozen. Because isn't the movie about Olaf from Frozen?
Yeah.
Which
featuring the most irritating character from the most irritating
movie.
That's
such a weird choice.
Right. So Frozen is... you know, a huge movie because Disney accidentally made a movie about two female protagonists and they were like, oh shit, this isn't the worst thing in the world. People are super into this. But they thought that it was like a really big mistake to have two female protagonists. And so when the Frozen preview first came out, it was the snowman and the reindeer, like just like fugging around on a frozen pond. Like just, the preview for the actual movie Frozen was essentially like a short about Olaf. They were like, man, this snowman character is clearly the best, and kids are going to love him. But it's like the Jar Jar Binks of the Disney universe.
Wow. Essentially. Yeah. Yeah. Feels like it was created by the same mind.
Right. But yeah, so just not a great movie.
Not a great movie. And just also, like, you know, fighting against seeing Frozen is something that I've been trying to very hard to do since my kids were born. I was like, I knew it was coming, but I was like, I'm going to fight this because,
you know, I'm going to fight this.
You know, eventually they're going to see it and they're going to be talking about Elsa and stuff. And sure enough, that did eventually happen. But I did a pretty good job holding the line. But like, when you go to a movie that's not Frozen and then yet there you are watching Frozen,
it's doubly irritating.
Like, so irritating. Yeah, featuring the most annoying an unimaginative character from the
movie. I felt like what's interesting too, because I started picking up on this because a couple of my friends who have young kids were on Twitter saying the same thing. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, just a heads up. Yeah. If you're going to see Coco, just know that you're going to sit through a 20-minute, like, laughable fucking thing before you actually get to the movie you wanted to see. Yeah. And, like, my kid is confused now because he thinks we're watching Frozen
Yeah. Or like, yeah, my daughter was like, okay, great. I saw my movie. It was like, a, you know, beginning, middle, and end. Then right. She's like, got up and started tearing around the theater. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's it for us. It's like, bailed.
Yeah, the fact that there's like end credits, like signals to the kid. Okay, yeah. Movie over.
She
yeah.
got her entertainment. And then
I think y'all got duped by Disney. That's what I think.
No, for real.
No, here's what it is. Coco's a trash movie, but Disney knew it was a trash movie. So they were just like,
Edgar, have you seen Coco?
No. Okay.
But Coco's they were like, at 80 on Metacritic. It's one of the better reviewed movies of the year.
Listen, this is from the same. Critics who love that one movie where they use rabbits and alligators to talk about racism. What was that movie?
Oh, Zootopia?
Yeah.
That was an important film.
I think they put that Olaf movie in front of Coco because, like, look, we got a bad movie. Let's make a worse movie. And everyone's going to be like, yo, that Coco movie was so great because it wasn't that Olaf movie.
It was next to the Olaf movie.
Oh, like whoever's president next after Trump is going to look like fucking God.
Oh, he's going to be GOAT.
On Reddit, a person who works at a movie theater was like, yeah, I had about 70 confused customers who thought they were in the wrong theater since Disney just decided to start their movie with a completely different movie.
But they've always done this, though.
Yeah. It's just, I think once it got to like minute 18, they were like, yo, this is
like the fourth.
So we're watching a different movie.
Like
then,
the fourth musical number happens. You're like, am I just watching?
Yeah, there are literally four different songs short.
I like the other thing that in like theaters in Mexico, like there were so many complaints from patrons that they just removed the short altogether. Because like it was just people like, I didn't come for this.
Yeah, it's also irritating because it was like Coco, say what you will about it, Edgar.
Who hasn't seen it?
You know, it's kind of a new thing. They go back and forth between English and Spanish with no subtitles. And like, I was watching it in a bilingual crowd because like there was jokes just fully in Spanish. Like somebody says, no manches at some point.
And then people
laugh. Yeah, and it was pretty cool. You know, there's a lot of things that I thought were pretty cool about it. But then to have this like mandatory, like Frozen experience before it, just like, can't you? Like you can't have anything.
Anything, put it at the end or something.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Or just don't. Right. I mean, I don't know.
That's how I feel about that short dude from the Hobbit movies being in Black Panther.
Andy Serkis?
No. The short dude who plays the Hobbit. What's his name? He's also in the British Office.
Oh, Tim from the Office.
Oh, yeah. He's in Black Panther, and I feel like that's our Olaf. Like we have to sit and watch this nigga in Black Panther. When we can't just have that movie ourselves. So I understand your point.
Yeah, I think it is. That's exactly
what I think that you've
it is.
A clear connection.
Yeah,
Martin Freeman.
Yeah, yes, that dude.
It's like Martin. Salient Solution.
He's the Hobbit, right? I'm not crazy. He's the Hobbit.
Yeah.
He's Bilbo, isn't he?
Yeah, he, I think, plays Bilbo.
Who's the Hobbit?
The Hobbit. There's no character named the Hobbit.
Then why is it called The Hobbit?
Because
did you see the fucking movie? You're like, hey, man, which one the Hobbit?
Also, he the Hobbit? So none of them is the Lord of the Rings? What's going on?
Hey, I didn't see Jesus.
I didn't see Jesus.
I didn't see Michael Jordan, the true Lord of the Rings. No, it's I guess because the other thing is this short was supposed to be like a TV movie.
Right.
That they were just like, ah, fuck it. We'll just throw it into this movie.
They were going to make it a holiday special, and they were like, no, this movie's majesty needs to be captured on the big screen.
Right.
Or
do you think it was
ABC
a,
was
or
just,
do you think
like,
it was a way
out.
To, like, temper audiences who, like, may have been reluctant to take their children to, like, a so, like, Latin-based culture film that it's like, hey, let's soften them up with a little snow.
Right, yeah. Just
Snow's
sort of,
white. Our audience is white.
Right, to preempt the angry emails.
Right. They're like, well, you got a little bit of white culture.
That's totally in keeping with what they did with Frozen because, the one groundbreaking thing about Frozen is that it had two female leads. I think that's what, drove its success. But they thought they had to pretend that it was about a fucking magical talking snowman because...
Right.
That's what I thought it was about.
Right.
Wait, is that how it's marketed?
Yeah, the first preview was a reindeer and Olaf just fucking around on a frozen lake, and it was a goofy
Oh wow, buddy
mix
comedy.
Them up. Yeah. So
see,
but it's confusing because if that's what they were trying to do, then you'd think that they'd advertise it come see Coco, and also featuring this great
Olaf
Christmas
from Frozen.
Short
right,
from
right.
Frozen.
Right.
But they just sort of blindside you with it.
So well, I'm gonna see Coco because it's interesting. Moana got pretty decent acceptance from Pacific Islander community.
Yeah.
And Coco too seems to have a lot of people excited too.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah. Yeah, who aren't offended. I mean, I think anything, it's not perfect. But even to your point, right, maybe they're doing it to pander to an audience. Even if they're pandering, you're making the product. So I don't know. It's hard sometimes, to decide if the decision is a nefarious decision to just exploit like a Spanish speaking audience.
Listen, I'm okay with it once they start pandering to us, but we haven't gotten our Pixar movie yet. So I'm waiting. You know, they got the Pacific Islanders, got the Hispanic people.
What was the one though?
It wasn't a Pixar movie. It was Princess and the Frog.
Oh, but so you want to make that? You want the step to the CG?
I want the Pixar movie.
Right? Yeah, and the hair better look good.
They're already making another Incredibles. Come on.
Well, here, I mean, look, maybe we can, let's work on a script.
Yeah, let's work on a script.
And then there's going to be a vacancy in the creative officer department at Pixar.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there is.
All right, so, hey, let's get you in there.
Listen, I already pitched you guys my idea. He has a very good day, and at the end, he gets shot by a cop.
Okay, well.
I'm laughing already.
And Edgar has been here for 2 hours now in our office and has not sexually harassed anyone the whole time.
Give him the job.
Yeah,
give him the job.
Boingo, boingo.
Edgar, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Awfulgram, on Twitter at Edgar Montplaisir, and that's Montplaisir. You can check me out at UCB Theater. I'm performing pretty much every day, every week.
UCB in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Yes. But, hey, in June, you can check me out there in New York.
Okay.
What are you doing?
DCM.
DCM?
Yeah.
The Del Close Marathon for the uninitiated.
Miles, where can people follow you?
Well, you can follow me into an office with Edgar because we're about to work on this killer treatment for the new Pixar film for the culture. But if you're looking for me on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Yeah, and as we've learned in today's show, you just need to dress up like a telephone repairman and you can get in there to drop the script off.
Anywhere, exactly. Hi, I'm here to pitch the new Pixar film.
And you can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. And you can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that is The Daily Zeitgeist. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. And we have a page on the World Wide Web at dailyzeitgeist.com where we put up episodes of the show along with footnotes, where you can see sources that we've used for today's episode and facts that back up our shit because we are more real journalists than
James O'Keefe.
Will there be a source for my Will Smith Cuban claim?
Yes, there will be.
We'll just link to your Twitter.
Right. we're realer journalists than James O'Keefe, which means we're not real journalists at all.
We're a step above Viners.
Right. All right, and we're going to try something out where we go out on new music to introduce you guys to. Miles has great taste in music. He's always ahead of the curve. But today we wanted to go out on a song that has been recommended by Edgar, actually.
Yes.
He said that Winchester Cathedral song by the new vaudeville band is better than Good Vibrations. And
Eleanor Rigby.
I stand by
it. So we are going to ride out on that. Once again, it is Winchester Cathedral by the new vaudeville band. And, give it a listen. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.